All right, everybody, welcome to another episode of Keeping It Real. I am joined today by my special guest, Sarah Trojak. She is the owner of Coffee in the Park. Sarah, thanks for being on my podcast.
Absolutely. Thank you for inviting me.
Is this your first ever podcast?
It is.
Oh, nice. I'm so honored. That's great. You're not the first person that this has been their first podcast. So I guess I'm helping people break the ice and get comfortable in front of the microphone, perhaps.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I'm really comfortable.
We'll see here.
Oh, it's going to be fine. Well, Sarah, I'm having you on the show because I'm kind of doing like a series of interviews with local business owners, not only just to get to know them better, because that's kind of why I started this podcast, but also just to talk about like what life looked like for you amidst the coronavirus shutdown. And now kind of as we climb our way out of that, what life looks like for you. Because obviously for everybody, especially a business owner like yourself, things probably look quite a bit different. So before we get into that, tell me a little bit about yourself, your background, where you grew up, how you got into entrepreneurship and all that fun stuff about Sarah.
Okay. So I'm 30 years old and I grew up in Lawrence Park, actually, which cool. is where Coffee in the Park is located. I never actually wanted to stay in Erie. Growing up, I always thought there was something bigger, better, someplace that had more, you know, coffee shops and whatnot. Growing up, there was Starbucks and one of them, but I went to school at Penn State Behrend and I was going for a degree that I ended up changing. So I had a bunch of history classes and programs. And one of the classes that I took was the War of 1812, which is hyper-focused on Erie and its importance to winning that war and just learning so much history about Erie. And I actually got an internship at GE around the same time. And just seeing the impact and the importance that GE in Erie made on growing the town, made on growing the United States, really, in a lot of ways, it really impacted me. And it made me realize how much I loved Erie and its historical importance that so many people lack vision of. They don't see that. And I just wanted a way to bring a little bit of that like glory back to Erie, back to Lawrence Park, which is where GE is located. Just have people be interested instead of driving through to actually stop and admire like the beautiful architecture and the significance of the different buildings and just different stuff like that.
That's interesting. So kind of a little bit of a combination of passion for Erie and passion for history and those kind of how they cross over. Because Erie obviously, like you said, has a ton of historical value and historical significance. Especially, I noticed you talked about the architecture.
Yeah.
You went there first. Tell me a little bit about what are some of your favorite buildings or architectural, you know, places in Erie.
Yeah, absolutely. So, I mean, downtown, State Street in particular, just every building has a different feel to it and architectural significance based on like the decades. Lawrence Park in particular, the row houses built for a time period where business was booming and they had to come up with a way to build enough housing for employees and their families. It's just something so interesting that people often like glance over and don't even think about. And I think that's just so beautiful. So wanting to highlight those features and make people like realize that this kind of crummy old building is actually can have a really awesome business in it or be really beautiful. So that's kind of where we started to look downtown Lawrence Park at some of the buildings. The building that our coffee shop is located in is actually, it was built in the 1800s. Wow. So just like it is very old school. There's a lot of nuances and uniqueness to it that people question why like the light is on the outside of the bathroom, stuff like that, just because it's grown over time and you can just see those layers. Even when we were peeling back paint, you can see like those physical layers of history basically.
Sure.
And that's just so cool.
That is cool. And that's kind of what I've really enjoyed about seeing this sort of like renaissance of Erie, Pennsylvania. Yeah. I've lived here only about 10 or 11 years. And, you know, when I first got here, to me, it felt like Erie was sort of a and this was 10 years ago, a tired, sort of sad place in some regard. Economy was down. This was right around the time we were coming out of like the recession
right.
In 2008, 2009. And I loved Erie because it was like my first, this is the first chance for me to be on my own. But I also, you know, it wasn't as exciting then as it feels like it is now.
Yeah.
You know, and it's cool to see the renaissance, in particular, these older buildings like where your shop is, taking on a new face, having new people, younger people inside, revitalizing them and turning them into their own while keeping the historical value, which is kind of cool.
Absolutely. And actually, so the time that you moved here was the time that I graduated high school.
Okay, well.
And so, no, just saying like, I can totally get what
sure.
you're saying
because
I didn't want to be here. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. But then being able to see like that need for renaissance, revitalization, regrowth, renewal, it's so important. And the fact that there are so many people now seeing that and like really working towards that is just beautiful.
Yeah, I love it. Well, that's, again, one of the reasons I have you here. I want to talk about your coffee shop, and you're a part of that process
Absolutely.
Of kind of revitalizing this region. And you decided to take the leap into entrepreneurship in Erie, Pennsylvania.
Right.
You've been open for about 5 years. So you're not new to the game, but you also haven't been in business for 20 years like some folks in town. So tell us about why you decided to, number one, take the risk of opening a coffee shop, and number two, some of the, I guess, reasons why you chose coffee.
Right. So I had a job pretty early on that I decided that I did not want to work for somebody else. I knew that I wanted to be an entrepreneur in some way, shape, or form, but I was really kind of just like struggling with this idea of what do I want to do with my life? What do I want to bring to people? And one thing that I knew that I wanted was like this ability for people to come in and meet who might not know each other, discuss ideas of how they can help revitalize, how they can grow, how they can personally grow even. And doing some research, I found out that like two of the most influential businesses that help that kind of growth are either breweries or coffee shops. So fast forward a little bit, my mom and I were on a mission trip to Guatemala, and I had no idea, but coffee is actually a super huge exported crop that they have. And we actually got to meet a family that owns a farm there, and their farm is over 100 years old. It's all family run, but it's actually on this border town, which is like a drug cartel town. And so it's just inspiring to hear their story of how the wife came for a Greenpeace mission and ended up falling in love. And they've just had this ongoing battle in their family, trying to like keep their farm alive and trying to grow their business, export their coffee beans. And that was just so inspiring to me that when we came home, it was just kind of like this almost instantaneous desire to own a coffee shop. I had no idea what that entailed. I had really no idea about coffee at all besides drinking it, mm-hmm. you know, Starbucks and whatever. But just that, like, know that there is a need for something like that in an area, like we've been talking about, that needs revitalized, that needs vision and push and growth. So yeah, that's kind of where that came from.
I love it. So it stemmed out of a passion project almost that you kind of planted in your soul when you were on a mission trip. Mm-hmm. That is really cool. So you come home and you're like, you know, I want to start a coffee shop because I felt like when you were on this mission trip that like you just had this calling. What were like some of the first steps in getting that process started? What was the biggest challenge? When did you realize like, oh, this is happening. Like it's gonna happen.
Right. So the first process was telling my family that I wanted to quit my day job and open a coffee shop, which I knew nothing about. And I just like sat my parents down because I was 24 at the time. And I said, mom, dad, like God called me to do this. And they were like, okay, if that's what.
You can't argue like, with that,
you
right?
You can't argue with right? that. Which I thought that they were a little crazy for letting my craziness go.
That's awesome.
But then we started doing research. I started doing the research. We went to different coffee shops in Pittsburgh and Erie. We went to Brouhaha. We actually knew the manager at the time at Brouhaha, which was like really awesome. I got to sit down with him a few times, just talk to people, go different places and meet people. And then like writing a business plan was super key to the next step. I did some of the workshops and classes downtown at the SBDC, just going through everything that I could potentially think about, even to like start a business, not necessarily the coffee shop aspect of it, but just the business side of it. How do you even start a business? There is really a lack of information out there for people unless they're going to actively search for it and struggle to find things. So just kind of doing that. And then that went on for about 6 months. Had a very, very fully detailed business plan and went to the bank and talked to them. And after about 3 months of talking to them, realizing that they were not going to give me money because I was a brand new business that didn't actually exist. So going downtown to a funding place and just like talking to them and figuring it out. And when I went to go sign the papers for that and still not having a space, they were like, okay, you have to have a space now. That was when it was real and like, okay, we have to figure this out. So we started talking to a building owner in Lawrence Park, and we talked to him about like leasing to own. And then we talked to him for a few months, and that fell through actually. So the day it fell through, we were like, what are we going to do? And literally there was a sign for rent, like the space that we're in right now. It said like for rent on the window. We called the number and we got the keys and 2 days later.
Oh my.
And 2 months later, we were open. So
wow.
That was where it got real. Like there were some tears walking out of that original building thinking, okay, maybe this isn't going to happen. Maybe this isn't the plan.
Sure.
Why did I just waste 6 months to, we have keys in our hand, we're doing some demo, knocking a wall down, painting, and literally we're open. It was a whirlwind.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. So 5 years ago, pretty much all this kind of happened within like a quick time frame, quick turnaround, it sounds
like. About 8 months.
Wow.
Yeah.
Awesome. So you're an established business now, beloved among the community. You probably get to meet a lot of people every day. I mean, coffee shops are the place to be. And you can honestly, there's several in town, and I always feel like they're all unique in their own way. I mean, obviously people probably have their preference, but like you can, I guess what I'm saying is you never have too many coffee shops because it's just
always
people in there to meet and to talk to like yourself. So let's kind of fast forward a little bit. Tell me, you know, here we are 5 years later, things are going well. Tell me a little bit about, because this is really what I want to talk about, not to be Debbie Downer, but I'd love to talk about what happened about 6-7 months ago when you found out that COVID-19 was going to be a thing, an unfortunate event for our country and our world. And how, talk about your initial emotion when you heard like, this is happening and you're probably going to be forced to shut your doors for a while because you probably got into a groove. 5 years you've been open and things are going well. And now what is coronavirus and why do I have to shut my doors? Talk about that.
Yeah. So I just feel a flood of emotions coming back for a second.
Sure.
And thinking about this podcast today, I've had this feeling like all weekend. February, early March, we were actually doing the best we've ever done. And it was some of the busiest time off season because usually that time of year is a little slow for us. So just being amazed, first of all, that January, February, March just like kept getting better from December, which is usually our best month of the year. And I think it was on a Saturday or Friday or a Sunday, something like that, right before St. Patrick's Day, mm-hmm. we turned on the TV because we were not sure what was going on. And we were actually at the coffee shop and they were saying that like non-essential businesses would have to close or restaurants could be no seating inside, only takeout, which we have a lot of people that come in and sit all day and they drink and eat and chat with people. So I think I was in a little bit of shock at first. And I don't think I really expressed any emotion until about that night when we were going to bed. And I just laid there crying. And then my husband, Jake, he was like, are you crying? And I was like, I don't know what we're going to do. And I just start bawling. And he was like, it's going to be okay. We're going to figure this out. And the next day, I kind of called my mom and I was crying. And she's like, it's okay. We're going to figure this out. And I was like, okay, I sense a recurring theme. My family says that we're going to figure this out. We're going to figure this out. So, yeah, we figured it out.
You did.
Yeah, but just fear and terror was the initial reaction for sure.
Wow. So, yeah. Okay. Yeah, I want to read your kind of your mission, and it says, our goal is to serve everyone with only the highest quality products and the best small town service. We are bringing you our local coffee and local passion every day.
Yeah.
That's probably going to be difficult to do given the news you just heard of.
Correct.
talk a little bit about the next steps for you. You know, the reason you're still surviving and doing okay and sitting here talking to me is because you didn't stay at home and cry.
Right. Yeah.
Week after week, your family encouraged you and said, we're going to figure something out.
Right.
To continue to serve people and provide, you know, to the local community here, the best coffee. So what were some of the things you initially planned or figured out in order to pivot your business to survive? I mean, you're in survival mode at this point, right?
Absolutely. And to be honest, we've been in survival mode before, so it's not something that we necessarily were unfamiliar with. Mm-hmm. Owning a small business in Erie, you can easily get into that survival mode. But we had been kind of working with this app that we had never really had live for too long just because we were trying to work out the bugs. It didn't quite work for us. You know, going back and forth with this newer app for online ordering. Mm-hmm. And that day we said, okay, this app is going live. It's going to be probably the only way that people will order from us. How do we make that happen? So we went through and we made sure all of our information was obviously correct as far as our menu, because we don't just serve coffee. We serve food. We serve gluten-free stuff. Mm-hmm. We serve baked goods, so it is a wider array than just coffee. It makes ordering on an app a little bit more difficult. It makes the backside of, like, the back office work of an app a little bit more difficult as well. So we looked at that and we were like, okay, we're going to make sure that this works. And we're going to just start pushing this on Facebook as hard as we can. So we pushed it on our own Facebook page and we were doing okay. And there was this new Facebook group. I think it's called like Takeout to Go. Yes. 2020 Erie PA, something like that. Yep. It has a really long name. And my husband found it and he was like, let's start posting on there. We'll take pictures of our food and our drinks and we'll post our menu, tell people we have gluten-free stuff and we have stuff that's like non-dairy and this, that, the other thing. And we posted it on there in our first Saturday brunch, which we all came to, both my parents, my husband and I, because we no longer could have any other help. Not that we have a ton of help anyway, but there was none. We all get there and we're like, okay, well, we'll see if like we even get one order. That would be great. And we never stopped moving.
Nice.
Tons of gluten-free orders, tons of our specialty French toast that we make. Just, we were completely shocked every time. And we would just like run the food out when the person said they got there. And they were totally cool with that because they paid online. Their food, they never had to touch anything. They never had to come inside. So we changed in a huge way pretty quickly in about 2 days.
Wow.
Yeah.
So you really were forced to aggressively kind of pivot like a lot of people were. Sounds like you already had some plans in place. Like you said, yeah. An app that allowed people to order online. I think you're probably living under a rock if you're not thinking forward like that even right. before the pandemic. Like, hey, with DoorDash and Uber Eats and grocery delivery, like people, unfortunately, really don't want to leave their house. So how can we right. bring coffee in the park to coffee in the kitchen to your house or whatever? Like,
right.
And good for you for thinking about that, because I think a lot of people, when this happened, maybe the people that didn't come out of the pandemic successfully, business owners in particular, they were like, oh my gosh, we haven't looked at our website in 5 years. We don't really use social media. We certainly don't have an app developed right. or anything or any way to communicate outside of walking in and out of our door. And I know for some businesses that's how they function. They need, you know, there definitely are exceptions to the food service industry. Like there are businesses that can't necessarily do what you were able to do as far yeah. as handing people food or handing them their services, if you will. So you guys had a plan in place, put the plan to work right away. It went well. You did the takeout model. That sounded like that went very well. What was something throughout that process that you learned about a business owner? Because certainly you had to have learned something about yourself and about your skills as an entrepreneur during the shutdown that is going to make you a better business owner moving forward. What are some things you learned about yourself?
I think adapt
yeah.
is probably the one phrase that kept running through my head for the last however many months. It's kind of hard when your governor comes on the TV on a Thursday and says, tomorrow at 8 a.m., no seating. Okay, adapt. Let's change everything up. Let's make it look like it's supposed to look like this and not like a crazy hot mess. And then the next time, okay, you can have 25%. Okay, well, that really doesn't do much for us. That's like 4 people,
yeah,
including us. So yeah. 4 people on a Saturday. Okay, everybody wait outside. I'm sorry if it's raining.
Yeah.
But you have to wait for your food. So it literally is just like an adapt. And we have been so blessed. Not only have I been blessed because of my family being super supportive and basically just doing whatever we need to survive and thrive, because we have been thriving for the most part, but also our community. Mm-hmm. We've had so many people that we've never met before, seen before, whatever, come in, order a whole brunch for their entire family and just be so patient, whether it's taking forever because our app doesn't like push out wait times for people. So we might have 10 orders come in at literally the same exact time, or them just being so willing to try something new. I mean, you're literally going to like this super old building in the middle of Lawrence Park that is very, very small. So you're not expecting to get a ton of food or whatever. I don't know what everyone's expectation is, but then they leave and they're like, wow, that was really, really good. I'm impressed. Do you make that from scratch? And we're like, yeah, like, let me explain that to you. And like, let me show you my passion. Because that's how we survive, is yeah. just by like being there for the community while the community is being there for us.
Absolutely. And I love that you brought in the community aspect, because like you had mentioned that Facebook group. I think that, you know, the world I live in is social media marketing. And I think that what I believe the best use of social media is the way it was used during coronavirus.
Yes.
Yes, it was overused because people were stuck inside and they were just looking for something to do, looking for ways to interact and engage with one another without being face to face. So yes, Facebook usage was, you know, quadrupled during that time. But you said that you saw the community rally around a simple Facebook group. And that's just one, you know, example. It was like a group where people would post and promote small businesses, restaurants, I guess in particular, coffee shops, breweries that offered takeout. Yeah. And I can remember every Friday with my wife actually going on that Facebook group and scrolling and basically just looking for whatever food pick caught my eye, because there was a lot of good ones. So I guess tell me just briefly about how that world, social media in particular, and any other online medium helped prop you guys up during the pandemic, and maybe how now you were going to continue to use it, because you're like, wow, I learned something that worked. I'm going to keep doing it now.
Yeah. So we used to do a lot of like heavy push advertising. Like we would post the same thing a few times a day. And sometimes we would see like a lot of results from that. Sometimes we would see nothing. But that's just always how we did it from the beginning of the shop opening. And so we just didn't think anything of it. And then when coronavirus happened and quarantine and whatnot, my husband was like, let's try it a little bit differently. So he started looking up some tips and tricks and whatnot. And we started changing some stuff up, just primarily posting pictures of food or things that would like hit somebody's interest fast. Mm-hmm. And so that would be what we would post on that takeout to go page. And we would do that every week at least once. And then like once a day, we would post pictures of food or something that would hopefully pique people's interest. And then we also started an Instagram page, which surprisingly did get, I don't know how many likes. He did all of that because I always would forget about the Instagram page. but we just started utilizing all of the social media platforms that we use a little bit differently. And it seemed to like peak our, not only our likes, but also like the views per page, the reactions per page, the reach per page or per post. So yeah, I mean, we grew in Facebook followers during pandemic. We grew in Instagram followers, obviously, and just messages and whatnot. So like social media really became our platform instead of, we never obviously did any advertising on in the paper, but like we would be in the newspaper for different things. Like we won Erie's Best Coffee this past year and a different award at Erie's Best Coffee this year. So we were in the newspaper for that. And we were in the newspaper for something else recently as well. But like, other than that, social media is it. And I feel like oftentimes you see so much that you kind of lose it. So like those ads that we were using before never really piqued people's interest, or they kind of just lost it. But when we started posting pictures primarily of food and stuff that like would hit that like hunger or that like perk their interest, I think that's when we really started to like see a change in social media really helping us.
Sure. And it's interesting to hear your account of that, because I think a lot of business owners and any really marketing practitioners learned, if they haven't already, and it's something that kind of we've been preaching for years, is that social media is supposed to be a two-way conversation. It's a telephone, and too many people use it as a megaphone to yell and shout and advertise, right?
Yeah.
And I think that if businesses and marketing professionals were doing that before, kind of posting and ghosting and just being like, here's what we're doing, come buy our stuff, hire us, here, look at us, we're over here yelling at you, telling you to come buy stuff from us. That wasn't working, and it certainly probably wasn't working once COVID hit, because physically can't come buy stuff from you. Yes, pivot to our online platform, please support us online. But now with COVID, it was like you said, use social media to communicate with people more, because now it's the only way we can communicate, especially as a coffee shop owner. When you're used to Bill and Bob and Jim and Janice coming in on a Saturday morning and saying hi to them, now you're not going to have that interaction face to face. And I will never believe that social media will replace that face to face interaction. But during COVID, it was the best thing we had. And I admire brands, businesses that said, okay, I'm done yelling about my product or service. Yes, I still need people's support, but I need to just show up for them, communicate, answer their messages, reply to their comments, you know, wish them a happy birthday, check in with their family, especially as a small business owner like yourself. Like, there's no doubt you probably missed people, seeing people, and wanted to check in with them during COVID to see how their newborn baby was, or to see how somebody's spouse was doing who maybe got sick or whatever it is. I love when I hear people say, well, we actually use social media to keep in touch with our customers. Thank you. That's what it's all about. And it's encouraging to hear that.
Which is, it's interesting that you say it like that, because we really did go from having the conversation in the coffee shop to having the conversation on social media. We actually, prime example, we did have a customer that'd come in every single Saturday, and then for about two Saturdays, they weren't there. Mm. And we've met the people through the coffee shop, had several conversations throughout the last couple of years with them, just like known the family, know the kids, just everything like that. We started to have this bond. And so we ended up reaching out, and I Facebook messaged them, and I was like, hey, I hope everything's okay. Is anybody sick? And we got a message back, and they just said, oh my gosh, this started because coronavirus, like, now is allowing it to start. So we haven't been able to come in on a Saturday, but we miss you. Mm. And so just that, like, they were like, oh my gosh, like, thank you for reaching out to us. We never would have thought that you would do that, especially because we just get coffee from you or food from you during the week. Like, we don't know you outside of the coffee shop. So having that connection with, like, people through the community, even if we can't have that inside sit indoors face to face, maybe have an hour long conversation about life just because we can.
Yeah. I love it. Oh man. If you're listening to this podcast and you're wondering, I can't figure social media out still, that's a great lesson. Like, just send somebody a random DM, a customer, and don't even send it from your business account. Send it from your personal account.
Yeah.
Because that's what it's all about. It's about humanizing your brand and checking in on people and using social media to do that. I mean, we have so many tools at our fingertips these days to stay connected with our customers, and that's really what they want. I mean, that's what customers, like I said, there's a lot of coffee shops in town. Okay. I'm going to go to the coffee shop with the people that remember my name, the people that send me messages like you did, check in on me.
Right.
I love it. I love hearing that.
Well, and I think, like, being genuine too is mm-hmm. the most important thing. If we had said, like, hey, we haven't seen you, like, do you not want to order food from us anymore? That totally changes that dynamic from, like, a business purely profit side to, like, a humanizing side where, like, yes, we are curious because we haven't seen you, but also we want to check in on you because you are a person and we feel connected to you in whatever way it might be.
Absolutely. I love it. And what a great way for you to utilize, you know, your coffee shop. It's very easy for you to develop those relationships, but to take those relationships and continue them online and offline and nourish them in both places is awesome. I love hearing that. So let me kind of round the corner here and try to, you know, wrap things up. I would love to hear, because obviously you have great perspective, you've seen success, you've done a wonderful job, not only establishing your business, but weathering this storm that we've all been through. You've come out on the other end of it, a better business owner, a better human, and you've learned so much. To the person that might be listening to this podcast saying, number one, I want to start a coffee shop. Number two, I'm nervous, I'm scared. What if there's another pandemic? I don't think any of this coronavirus stuff's going to go away. What advice would you offer your fellow business owner or your future entrepreneur either that you have learned throughout this? What advice would you give them if they're thinking about starting a business or changing the way they currently do their business to adapt to the world we live in?
Right. So as far as starting a business, they say how many, I can't even think of it, like 80% or 75% fail within the first year. It is not about the pandemic. Starting a business is scary, but it also is so rewarding. Making those connections, having the ability to say, like, I did this or we did this, it literally cannot be replaced by anything else. So it is so rewarding to be able to do that. So what I would say personally to somebody who is thinking about starting a business but is afraid because of pandemic or failure, the fact that you have started or you have tried is the most successful thing that you can do. whether you stay around for your entire life and you work this business until the day you die, or you fail in the first 6 months, the fact that you tried should make you so proud. And then as far as people who have a business who are trying to figure out, how do I stay in business? That's so scary when the uncertainty comes and you don't know if you're going to be able to pay your rent, let alone your electricity bill next month or this month. Just breathe and take it one step at a time. And if you can adapt, you can succeed. And if you can't succeed because of a pandemic or something has happened that's out of your control, that is not your fault. That is not something that you can feel upset about. It's just something that we learn and we take the next step forward, and we just keep walking through life and figuring out what the next step is, what the next move is. And I think life in itself is all about adapting. So why wouldn't our business be about adapting as well?
That's a good word. I think we've all adapted and learned so much, even outside of business, about ourselves and about maybe, COVID was the reset button we all needed. And, things is going to change our perspective. We were talking before we started recording about how, man, this is just going to change life for so many people. Our children are going to grow up in the COVID era. And it's just such a weird time. But tell me about, as you mentioned, walking through life. Tell me about, as you walk through life, what are you most excited for as a business owner moving forward? Things seem to be returning to quote unquote normal. At the time of this recording, I think are you allowed 50% capacity now, something like that?
50% with the self-certification.
Okay.
We haven't officially moved to seating yet just because we have to completely rearrange our coffee shop.
Sure.
And obviously that takes time.
Yeah.
So we have actually a lot of locally owned merchandise from like local crafters.
Cool.
Inside the coffee shop. And that's kind of taking up most of the table space right now.
Gotcha.
Just to kind of avoid people sitting down.
Sure.
So just like rearranging takes some time. But yeah, 50% right now with that self-certification that just says, okay, you are following all of the COVID rules.
Sure.
And you are making sure that you're as safe as possible, whatnot. Hopefully moving towards normal at some point would be amazing.
Yep.
But even just being able to have people inside, the coffee shop is super nice. Having people be able to kind of stand around and shop a little bit while they're waiting for their drink instead of standing outside is nice.
Cool.
I don't know what normal is going to look like.
I know.
Anytime soon. The holidays are coming, and that's usually super busy for us. And obviously, that's going to completely look different. We're already talking about ways that we're going to change that up. So extending and splitting up what we would have, like one small business Saturday shopping event for the local crafters that are in our coffee shop. And then we have specials typically food-wise and drink-wise also, but splitting that up from one day into 4 days. Just different stuff like that. We're working on those plans now.
I love it. That's some exciting stuff. And I'm excited to see how you guys, again, grow from this and hopefully get back to maybe having people in your restaurant 100% capacity, but you're not wasting that space. It sounds like you're using it to continue to support the community, which is part of your entire mission of Coffee in the Park. And tell me a little bit as we wrap up here, how can people learn more about Coffee in the Park? What's the best way for them to connect with you guys?
Probably the best way would just be going on Facebook and looking up Coffee in the Park. That's all you have to do when you look it up and when you search for it. And just like us, and you'll be able to see our posts coming in this fall and Christmas time and whatnot. You'll be able to see like what events we do, how we're doing them to make sure that they're safe for the individuals who are shopping or visiting. Just being able to see that, because that's the most up-to-date daily updates typically.
I love it. And if you go on their website, it's coffeeinthepark.com.
Yes. Yeah.
There's an order online button right there, right?
Yeah.
I saw it. So if you're in the area and you want some coffee or some baked goods, gluten-free options, you guys have it all.
Yeah.
Check it out, right? The website, you can order online and pull up and and they'll bring it out to you. You can go inside and
yeah, you can
warm.
Absolutely come inside now and do your ordering as well. We are starting to allow that again, which Good. Is super nice.
Well, snow is coming soon, so people will appreciate that.
We're hoping for seating soon, so you can also do that pretty soon.
Awesome.
Yeah, so just come on out and check us out.
I love it. Sarah Trojak, thank you so much for your time. Man, I could talk about coffee. I realized that halfway through this conversation, we're pretty much talking about coffee and social media. And this is like,
right.
That's like my jam. That's like my life. So let's do this again sometime. Thanks so much for being on here and best of luck to everything you guys are doing at Coffee in the Park.
Thank you so much.
Friends, thanks so much for listening to today's episode of Keeping It Real with Chris Norris. Make sure you check the show notes for all of the relevant links. And don't forget, this is a production of Revox Social. We are a social media management and consulting agency helping businesses expand their reach online and successfully connect with their customers through the use of social media. We also can help with podcasting production, television, video production, basically any type of content or any type of way we can help you share your story online. We are here to help. Reach out to us at revoxsocial.com. Looking forward to another episode. Stay tuned for more. Thanks again for listening.